12-part series on the revelation of church. I'm kidding. So obviously, what we're doing, guys, is over this holiday period, we're going to look at a 3-part series about a love mini-series about what Craig wanted us to do. So I'm going to do the first part today, and then Craig's going to come back after his wedding, which I saw some photos this morning. Looked like him and Janelle had a really good time last night. They're going to come back, and Craig's going to finish off the second and third parts. So the series we're going to look at is Craig's entitled, it's All You Need Is Love, obviously a great Beatles song as well. But I'm going to be starting the first part of the series this morning. And we're going to look at the verse in 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. So have your Bibles there, or your YouVersion, or your iPad like me. Grab your Bibles out and flick it over to 1 Corinthians and verse 13. Sorry, Daniel. And backwards. I'll just go stand back here, shall I? Beautiful music. All right, if you don't have your Bibles for some reason, it'll be up on the screen here too, guys. So what we're going to look at this morning is the first three verses about it, and I'm going to break that down a little bit today. So in 1 Corinthians 1, 13, verses 1 and 3, it says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Some pretty powerful words in there. And it's not really what, and obviously this leads into the next part about what is love, but it's not really the first thing you really think of when you think about love is this sort of verse and this sort of passage and this sort of idea. So this morning, I'm just going to simply break it down for you guys a bit more so we can get a bit more understanding. And there's three things in here that I believe is key to understanding a bit more about what is love and what God's love is for us and what God wants us to do in that too. Now, the first part in there is, this first part here is talking about, if I speak in the tongues of men of angels, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So without love, if we do not have love, we are just noise. Now, if you were listening to worship this morning and you heard Noah and the drum kit over here, and just on a side note, it's great to see young people getting up and doing stuff in church and not so young people like Tom getting up and doing stuff in church too. But he's 24 now, so he's getting mid-20s. But if you listen to Noah on the drum kit this morning, there's a few things on there. And if you aren't a musician, that's cool. I'll explain a bit to you about what it is. Now, I'm a bit of a muso too. I've played some drums. I play a few other things. There's a few different parts on a drum kit. You've got your bass drum, which is the big thing down the bottom. You've got your snare drum, which is your flat thing at the back. You've got your tom. You got your couple of toms up the top. Then you've got a floor tom around the back. And you've got a hi-hat, a crash cymbal, and a ride cymbal. So basically, the cymbals up the top is what this verse is talking about. Now, if you listen to Noah this morning, there was never a time that Noah was playing the drums that he simply played one of the cymbals by themselves, because it never sounds good. If you just play a cymbal by itself, it's very hollow, very empty, and it just makes unnecessary noise. So a sound of a gong or a cymbal is entertaining. It is pretty cool. But without the entire drum kit all together, there is no rhythm and there's no point to the noise. See, if we just got Noah up here this morning and we took away his snare, we took away his bass drum, we took away his toms, we took away his hi-hat, we took away his ride cymbal, and we just gave him the crash, and he was just playing the crash cymbal, I don't think we would have really enjoyed worship as much as we would have had this morning. Same thing if we gave him the ride cymbal. We just sat there and played the ride, it'd just be really, really boring and just make unnecessary noise. This is what this verse is talking about with love. If we don't have love, we are about as useful as a simple, single cymbal, that's what I'm trying to get, on a drum kit without the entirety being played together. And it's the same thing of our lives too. If we have words, if you had the best words to say to another person, or a fantastic prayer to God, or anything like that, but don't have love, then we're simply wasting our oxygen. We're simply wasting our time, we're wasting our effort, because we don't have love in it. Our words need to have love to make them effective. Just as we need the cymbals and all the drum kit to work together to be effective, we need love to make our words and our noise effective as well. Now, doing a bit of research too, there was this blog here called Leon Morris. He said this great passage too. There's no language on heaven or earth
to be compared with the practice of love. So you can say whatever you want. You can say the greatest fathoms of heaven, the greatest fathoms of earth. But without love, love is the greatest practice to be done throughout the world. And that comes from Leon Morris. So that's basically the first one there. Without love, we're simply just noise. Just noise and wasting oxygen. Now the second part of this, guys, is a bit more confronting. Without love, I'm nothing. It talks about this, the second verse here. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith can move mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. You could have the greatest knowledge, the greatest studies, the greatest person in the world, but if you don't have love, as Barbara says, you have nothing and you are nothing. See, as a teacher here, there's a few teachers in the room, as we said, we're all on holidays. I'm a teacher too. I teach a few different things. If I knew every single rule about sport, because I'm an HP teacher, if I knew every single rule about sport, which I do, and if I know every single sporting team in the world, which I do, if I know all these great things about sport in the world, but cannot teach someone that, then there's no point in me being a sport teacher. Because I cannot take what I know and use it effectively. And it's the same thing here with us, in terms of our relationship with others, relationship in church, and everything else with that. We can have all the gifts in the world and bless the church and people in so many ways and talents, but if there's not love there, with our gifts, then we're just playing church and wasting our time. This is what this biographer is talking about. We can do all these great, fantastic ideas in the world, but if we don't have love, we're just playing church and wasting our time. We're not creating love and we're not creating relationships too. Another great guy called John Stott said this as well. God cannot use the loveless Christian for his glory, and that's pretty confronting. God cannot not use the loveless Christian for his glory. Even if he is gifted with prophetic speaking and able to understand the deep things of God, man, and Satan. Even if he can do all these things, God still cannot use us. If you do not have love with you, God cannot use you. And the last point in this one too, guys, is without love, it says here, I gain nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Now, keeping with the thing of sport, because I know sport very, very well. If you are an elite athlete, but you don't go to sport training, you don't train, this is what I tell my kids too, if you aren't going to train, if you're not willing to put in the hard hours and train and set up and do all that thing, if you're going to and just go out on game day and think you can do anything you want on game day, you're not going to perform and you will not gain anything in your work. If I was to just think I could go and play for the Whitsunday Sea Eagles just one weekend, but I didn't train, I didn't know the team setup, I didn't know what position I was meant to be playing in, I didn't know how to kick a ball properly, and I just rocked up in game day and thought for the best, probably not going to end well, and I'm probably going to go to hospital because I'll probably break my leg in three places. Same thing here, guys. Even if we sell everything we do, we know how to do everything, we go and do something as hard as we can, even if we sell everything that we own for the benefit of others and do everything in the world humanly possible to help others, we still gain nothing if we don't have love. This Bible verse is talking about another great thing, and this comes from another great quote here, so from Gordon Free. He's saying that all these things are good. All these points are really good. If we can give all our money away, we can help the poor, we can do everything in the world, we can save Syrian refugees, we can do everything possible in the world to help and love the world. What is not good is religious practice, just going and helping out people. Gifts on display by one who is not otherwise acting in love. So if we're not acting in love, our actions won't show love. And that's what this is talking about here. We gain nothing. There is nothing to gain for us or for other people as well. And that's basically the three points there. Now, but in that too, I don't want to just leave us today with saying we gain nothing, we do nothing, or anything like that. That's not a very good point. I will probably get an angry email from Craig saying you've degraded everyone. But here's the idea, guys. Our love needs to change and grow over time. Now, we've seen why we need love. But we also need to change or let it change and grow over time. Now, I'm not saying the notion of loving others needs to change. But the actions, the ways, and the times need to change too. See, the song at the start there, Love is Easy, so that comes from a band called McFly. It may be true in easy times to love people who are lovable, or others who are lovable, or if you are lovable, or when your situation is lovable. But we're not called to love when it's easy. We are called to love God and love people without conditions, hence unconditionally. Now, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit of a story. I'm going to get a little bit more personal this morning. So last year, for many of us in the church knew, it was Lauren and my first year of ever being married. And when you hear something like that or think about it, it sounds like a fantastic idea, this first year of marriage. And on top of that, Lauren and I both started new careers and both moved away from home. So we did the trifecta. And it sounds like a fantastic idea. But what not many people do say is that the first year of marriage is one of the hardest years ever. And probably the people who have been married for a long time, you can probably reflect on this with me as well. Dating and engagement for Lauren and I was a piece of cake. We organized time to spend together that worked for both of us. We went out deliberately to have fun, and then we hang out, and then we kissed and made out for a little bit, and then went home. That was pretty much the nice and simple parts. That was easy. That was simple. That was a really fun time. But when you're married for the first year, there's no time to leave. There's no time to go, right, I've had enough, I'm going to go here, or I need to go home. You are gelled together. You are with each other 24/7. And Lauren and I chose to love each other no matter what, through the happy times and the arguments. And believe me, there were arguments and disagreements, especially when you live with an OCD person like me, who likes order and established and likes things my way, and Lauren is not that way. So there was definitely arguments in that, mainly caused by me. But that doesn't mean Lauren and I loved each other any less, though we don't love each other. It meant that we need to choose. We had to choose to love each other and make new ways to love each other, as it's different from dating and from engagement. It was a different time and a different setting. Now that Laura and I are in our second year of marriage, we found new ways to love each other and make it easier than last year. That doesn't mean we love each other any less. It means we love each other in new ways and different ways, and creating new ideas to love each other. We don't have it always perfect. We're not saying that, and I'm definitely not saying that, because it's still you're living with me, and Lauren will be the first one to say it's definitely impossible to live with me. She's laughing, which means she's agreed with me right now. I'm not saying that Lauren and I have it perfect, but we both want to choose and keep loving and choosing to love and showing it in different ways. And I believe that's what we should be all doing, is choosing to love no matter what. So it's easy to love, like as I said, when it's, you know, sunflowers and raindrops and rainbows and all that jazz. The time it's really hardest to love is when you need to choose to love, when something is unlovable. That's when you need to love. Now, I'm not saying this because Laura and I have the full example of perfect love, but the notion of choosing to love is what we need to do, is choosing to love in those times. Another point I want to make you guys quickly this morning is love also changes as the fruit of the Spirit grows. So we know the fruit of the Spirit, and at the Christian College this past term, they're doing it already, the primary teachers, there's like a, what do you call it? Like cheerleader pom-pom. Without the fruit, so it's like a fruit of the Spirit song. So basically like, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all that sort of jazz. So kind of like a pom-pom sort of that. And that's what the kids were doing. And all the kids were like running around singing all term. It was pretty annoying. But so the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, joyfulness, self-controlled, all that jazz. I believe the fruit of the Spirit is all together with love. So when our ability to be joyful grows, it's when we can show more joy, when we can be happier and be more joyful, I believe our love will also grow in that too. When our ability to be patient grows, our ability to love will also grow as well. When our ability to be faithful grows, our ability to love will grow also. See, I believe if you want to develop your love for yourself, for others, and for God, we need to grow our fruit of the Spirit with God's help, and we'll watch our love change. Now, I know from Lauren, I'll go back to us, I know we can see how our love sort of changed and grew in that sense. Lauren likes to quote that the fruit of patience is the worst one of all, because as soon as you pray for patience, you want God to do it now, so you like double back on it, and it's not really good at sense. But when you grow those parts of the fruit of the Spirit, I believe they all encompass love as the central idea. Because if you're joyful, if you're patient, if you're peaceful, then you're able to love easier as well. But overall, love and grace, what God has been showing us ever since Jesus came and died for us, and ever all through the Bible as well, love and grace needs to be shown to others always, whether that's in the church, whether it's out of the church, wherever it is. It needs to be shown always. Because as we already talked about with these few other verses here, we gain nothing if we don't have love, we are nothing if we have no love, and we're just making noise if we have no love. As I said, pretty simple. So there, guys, is the first three verses for us in terms of the series. Now, I hope you didn't get too much of a depressed feeling from me being negative for three quarters of it, but I really believe and I really back this idea of loving others. Because a lot of times I see, and I'm not saying it's happening in here, that's what I'm saying, I've seen a lot of situations in my life where people have just gone and tried to do things and people have been burnt and hurt because they haven't been loved. And I believe in this place, this is the greatest thing we do. Because God's greatest command for us, as Jesus said, to love God and to love people. When all else fades, that's the two things we do. Love God and love people. No matter what people say, no matter what people do, no matter what people say to you, what do they do to you, love God, love people. That's the two ideas. I'm going to invite the worship band up to finish. And I'd love for you guys just to stand with me as we pray this morning as well. Father God, we just thank you this morning for Jesus. We just thank you, God, this morning for his ability to love the lovable, but also to love the unlovable as well, God. And we just pray that we would seek you and help and ask you to help us how to love people more, God. God, we just pray that these words this morning, that we are nothing without love, we gain nothing without love, and we're just a noise without love. We just pray, God, that we would be able to love people more and more so that we are not just noise. We are not nothing and we don't gain nothing from it, that we gain as much as we can from loving people. God, we just thank you for the time we're going to have remaining today, and just pray that we can bless you this morning forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sam. That was a good message. Thank you. Well, we're going to sing Your Love Never